Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We've talked about Pop Warner quite a bit on this podcast on Pigskin Dispatch, but there are so many great stories that this great innovator of the game did. We just had to share a few more from early in his career at Carlisle. So here's a couple that'll really keep your interest.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And when we last left off our story on a history of football rules discussion, it was focused on the contributions of a certain Glenn S. Pop Warner. Warner's debut season of 1899 at the Small Indian Reservation Vocational School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to be exact. And the remarkable game that season in particular against Columbia University, where Warner introduced the ideas of the three-point stance in an offensive shift prior to snap. Now, the three-point stance is so common in today's game, it's basically a foregone conclusion that it will occur on every play. But in the era of football around 1899, it was quite out of the ordinary. The common stance for line players was to be set before the snap by having their hands on their knees while slightly leaning forward. Pop determined that if sprinters in track thought they could get an edge in quicker starts by having a hand or two on the ground from a crouch position, then why wouldn't it work for a football player too? Warner's contribution to the game was hardly complete in 1899, though, and his story is still in the background phases as we bring the reader up to date of our series in 1916. Now, Carlisle continued to be the next few seasons under Warner's guidance with some limited successes, and the real influential moment in football history that Warner and Carlisle had after the 1899 season occurred in 1903. As a matter of fact, the innovation that Warner tried against Harvard was the talk of the 1903 season. Before we get into that Harvard game that season, we must review the game that took place a few weeks prior against Princeton. In the Princeton game, they had the top referee of the era, Mike Thompson. Now, Warner told Thompson in a pregame meeting against Princeton that if they had a plan to have a play in their arsenal where they would receive a kick and retreat all their players to form a tight wedge formation, while the kick receiver would be concealed from the sight of the kicking team inside the compacted wedge, he would slip the ball under another player's specially made jersey, and at the same time, the initial receiver would put his own brown leather helmet, which was not mandatory equipment at the time, off of his head and tuck it under his arm as if it was the ball. It was quite a diabolical plan, but ingenious nonetheless, and under the rules of 1903, or lack of ones in this case, it was legal. The play was not used as foretold to Thompson in the Princeton game, but it was renowned referee and is presiding over a game of the Carlisle Indians again against Harvard. It would work to perfection. Pop even went so far to have the Carlisle school's tailor, Moss Blumenthal, design a jersey that was laced with elastic to hold the ball in the back of the Indian player Charlie Dillon's upper torso garment. The play worked like a charm against the unsuspecting Harvard squad at the start of the second half. The Carlisle quarterback Jimmy Johnson received the kick inside his own 5-yard line, and a wedge formed around a cloak of blockers. Johnson tucked the ball in the rear of Dillon's jersey as the Harvard players fought through the wedge formation to try and get to Johnson, who still appeared to have the ball. Dillon slipped out the back of the formation and down the field across the goal line. The only problem was that Dillon remained a hunchback as he could not remove the ball from his elastic design that worked all too well. He rolled around on the ground beyond the goal, yelling to the befuddled ref and asking him, "Down, Mike, down?" And the score was not recognized by the officials, though, until Johnson immediately ran down and took the ball out of a squirming and slithering teammate's shirt and touched it down. The Indians went on to win that game 12-11 in that game. Well, Warner left Carlisle for a few seasons when he returned to Cornell, but he triumphantly returned back to the small Pennsylvania Native American school in 1907 to field a team that would live on the tribunals of football lore. Now, Warner would never have an undefeated season at Carlisle, but in 1907 he got close. That season, it was the first for the infamous Jim Thorpe at the school. This 1907 squad was not so much of a powerhouse for having an then inexperienced Thorpe as sub as they were for the style of offense that they ran. Warner did not have to invent the forward pass, but as coach in the East, who was the first and most used it to, with its effectiveness early on. This starting backs were small, so the forward pass was one that he countered for lack of size and a system that worked. Their only loss of the season came to Princeton in a game that many spoke of as overconfidence by the Indians rather than that being defeated by a better team. Now, we can look back more for more on Pop Warner in the next edition of the Football History Rewind, part number 36, coming up here on a pigskindispatch.com, probably next week. Now, we hope you enjoyed this little bit of history. We hope that you'll join us each and every day for some more great football history and some stories that make the game so great and such a legendary item that it is. So we hope you have a great day, and until tomorrow, have a great Gridiron Day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.